Really a fun time, though. It's really a great time. Okay, so let's do this. I think we need to pray, right? First of all, turn in your Bibles to John 15. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for your people, even for those who are not here this morning. We want to pray many needs within the body of Christ. We need prayer warriors. We need to pray for families. Jesula's brother, 39, he is now in the hospital with internal bleeding. 39 years old. We need to pray. We need to cover the people. We need to cover our families. We need to get on our knees and pray for this nation. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are here in our presence. You are here, and you desire your people. You desire them. You call them by name. You desire to speak to them. You desire to speak to your people. You desire to bless your people. You desire to heal your people. Nourish us, equip us, speak to us, Lord. Thank you, Father. You are faithful. It's because God is faithful, he speaks to his children. It's because God is faithful, he opens up heaven's doors upon us. We love you, Lord. We thank you. We praise you today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
In John chapter 15, and if you are ever going through a lot of difficulties in life, or a lot of difficulties last month, or maybe last week, or even today, probably, yeah. If you're going through troubles, and if you're going through these hardships, just read this chapter. It is an amazing chapter. It shows how God is going to work and produce fruit in your life. It doesn't depend upon you. It depends upon God producing fruit in one's life. But also in here it says, he says, I will wash you with the words that I speak. God says he's going to wash us. He's going to cleanse us. We are to abide in him. He says, just keep abiding. Keep continuing. Keep going forward. Keep going with him and watch what I do because I love you. I love you and I call you friend. I'm not looking at you as a servant. I'm not looking at you as a slave or somebody who I cannot even commune with or touch or speak to or talk to. As close as you talk to your best friend, you can talk to God. He is there. He's right with us. He's right there available with us. And because the Father loved the Son and the Son loved us, this relationship becomes formed. It's formed. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So in we're going to be in 15, John 15, 15. In 13, though, it says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And this is what Christ did. Freely, he laid down his life for you. And I love this because in 15, it says, from henceforth, I call you not servant, because a servant does not know what the Lord doeth, but I call you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known unto you. And I love this in 16. You have not chosen me. Nobody in here chose God, by the way. God chose you. You got to get this straight. He chose you. And this is why he says, from henceforth, I don't want to call you a servant no more. From henceforth. You know, that's an amazing word. 65 times in the Bible. in 7 different types of translations. 33 in the Old Testament, 32 times in the New Testament. Pretty important word. And we just fly right through it. Henceforth, from this point on, no looking back. No looking back. Remember the last couple of weeks, we talked about, well, especially last week, we talked about being in troubles. Because we're in this life, trouble surrounds us. We're in it. Trouble is all around. Trouble suffocates us. Once we get rid of one, there's another one. It's just like these storms that are rolling off of Africa, one after another. And we name them. We name our troubles, you know. Oh, that's that. No, we won't. But, you know, we've got all these different things that we call them. But like we said last week, you know, we're in a trouble. We're in a storm. But Christ is there. And we can wake him. It's not that he's asleep, but it's like we find him. We search him out in our life because he's above that storm. I'm in this storm and Christ was above it, resting. No hindrance to him. Didn't even upset him. Didn't cause him alarm. Didn't cause him worry. Didn't cause him stress because he's above it and he speaks to it. He speaks to those storms. But with these hard times, you know, we hit that. We also need to learn henceforth from this. I am not going to look at last week's problems. I'm going to look beyond that. I'm going to go forward. I'm not going to bring up my past. I'm not going to discuss it. I'm not going to even make it an issue no more. And it's not that I'm an ostrich that I'm putting my head that it's not there. We know it's there, but we know somebody who is above that. Somebody is above that problem, that situation, that discomfort that we're going through. So from henceforth, from now going forward, I'm not going to have no relationship with that past. Paul said it amazing in Philippians, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forward to the things that are to come. And it's like things of God, blessings of God, communion with God, it's like they're out of reach. But he says to reach for him anyway. Forget reaching back here, because that's ashes. That's not going to do anything for our life to dwell on what took place that is causing great pain in our life. From henceforth, from now on, from going forward. And then he says, I no longer call you servant. I no longer call you slave. Because that's what a servant is. He's a slave. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 2, that we were a slave to sin. That we walked according to the course of this world. A world that was where the enemy was completely against us. Who it was run by the prince and the power of the air. This is what this kingdom, this world kingdom, is all about. It's about fulfilling yourself in the lust and the desires that the world throws our way. He says, and once you walked that way. You walked that way. You walked with it. You walked among children of disobedience in the lust of your flesh. And in the wrath that is upon you, because now you have made yourself a slave. Whoever he serves, he is a slave thereunto. And if we serve sin, we are a slave to sin. This is why he says, from now on, you're not a slave. You're not there no more. We must retrain our thinking. We're not a slave. And then in verse 4 it says, but God, in Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love for you. That is why. And we sang about that this morning. This amazing love that God has for us. It's a great love. And it's because of rich mercy, we can henceforth. We can learn to henceforth. Christ wouldn't put it here. It would not be in the Bible 65 times if it was unable to do. We must believe God in all of this. We must believe He has called us, that He has delivered us, that He has taken us out of that fire. So I no longer call you slave. I don't call you servant. Because that servant has no clue what the master is doing. But I've got a different name for you. I want to establish a relationship with you. It's a relationship of love. God takes us and says, you're not a slave no more, and you can now receive my love. So it's now a different relationship. It's a relationship of love. And in a relationship of love, a relationship of love looks beyond Christian performance. It's not about how you are performing or what you're doing or what you're not doing or how you're failing or how you're achieving. It has nothing to do with that. Love is not based upon that. Love is, I love you no matter what you do. And I've called you to this relationship. I've called you out of this servant. And I've called you to be a friend. I've called you to be a friend. So I call you not servants. You know, just a little side note. It's something in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 1. It says, James, the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a little bit about James, and that's Jesus' brother. He never accepted Christ until after the resurrection. And then he became the pillar of the church in Jerusalem. And he says, no, I'll stay as a slave. I mean, I rejected him during his whole ministry because of, wow, this is my, I slept next to this guy. And now he's claiming to be, you know, so, but, you know, he learned afterwards to be this servant, this amazing servant. So we are called to a relationship. And that means we are called to relate. I am called to relate. If we're in a relationship, I want to relate to you. I want to learn about you. I want to know about you. So we learn how to relate to mercy. We learn, because it's not my nature. I want to relate to forgiveness. I want to relate to loving kindness. I want to learn to relate to these things so I can apply them in my life. When I'm relating to it, I'm starting to live in it. And now I can go forward. Henceforth, I don't have to deal with all these things that are troubling me and have me in bondage and insecurity. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 1, he says, am I not free? This is how he starts chapter 9. Am I not free? Yes, I am free. We are free today. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you are free. Free from all restrictions and all obligations. There is no restriction that holds a person who is free. We are free in Christ. We are free. It means we get to stand in liberty in Galatians 5:1. We get to stand in the promises of God only because we are free and only because we're not a servant. We're not a slave anymore. We are free. And then this, he says, and this is incredible. In 1 Corinthians 9:19, he says, yes, I'm free. Look at this. But I use my freedom. I use my liberty to serve. He flips the whole thing. Here it says, henceforth, don't be a servant no more. Don't be a slave no more. And now Paul's saying, yeah, now that I'm free and I know that I'm free, now I'm going to serve. I can't serve unless I know I'm free. It's impossible. If you are, you're doing it out of the flesh. And it's wood, hay, and stubble. It will be burnt up. But when we know we're free in Christ, now I can serve one another. Now, this is what Jesus is talking about. You're free from sin. Now you have liberty. You're not a servant to sin, but now you're a servant to all because you're free. It's just a complete flip around. We serve because we've learned we are free. We serve because we learned we are free. So what do I do? You know, we even sing that song. You know, what can I do? What do I do? You know, that's what it says in John 6. What is it? 29. What can I do? And it's just believe. Just believe. Believe in the Son. Believe in the Father. Believe in the Son. Just believe. I think it's 628, somewhere in there, right? Is that it? Okay. So, yeah. What can I do? Okay, so he says, I call you friends. And that's amazing. And you can follow me here if you want. In Genesis chapter 18, even in Genesis 15, God calls Abraham and he says, through your wife Sarah, the promise is going to come. And they waited and they waited and the wait was ongoing. And it never came. It never came in the time frame that Abraham wanted it. And a lot of times things don't come in the time that we want it. And so we try to help God. Maybe God needs a little help. Maybe God needs a little pushing in this. Because we're always looking at things according to our timeline instead of an eternal timeline. And in Genesis 18, the Bible says that three men, or three, how Abraham is describing, came. And this was God and two angels is what it came to be. And they came to meet with Abraham. And Abraham gets all excited. And he goes and starts to do all these things because he thinks that these men were on this long journey. And he tells Sarah to bake some cakes. And he tells his servants to go ahead and prepare a calf. And let's, you know. And one thing even about Abraham, if you read about it, you know, Abraham went from place to place building tents, you know, setting up tents. But every time he planted a tent, he also built an altar. Pretty amazing. Because he wanted to make sure that it was about the sacrifice for himself. It's always about the blood. Without the blood, there was no forgiveness of sin. And the altar is the place of forgiveness. And the altar is the place of communion with God. And with that, we will have communion next week. So he's got these three men, right? And they're talking to him and they're dealing with him. And then they say, hey, where's your wife, Sarah? And they go on to say that she will have a son. And the Bible says that, you know, because she's 99 now, and she starts to laugh. And they said, she laughed and she denied. She goes, no, I didn't laugh. But she was so scared. And the Bible says, yeah, she did. She laughed. And so would we, you know. And then right after that event that it's going to come take place, the two angels go down to Sodom and Gomorrah. And God is walking with Abraham. As a friend walks with a friend. And he says this, and this is what binds this friendship. He said, should I hold anything back from Abram? Should I hold anything back from Abraham? And this is where he discloses it, that because of the sin, the constant sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, and never wanting to repent, that he is going to destroy that place. And a friend in a friendship, especially a godly friendship, I learn about the one that is my friend. And Abraham learned over this whole time about God. And he learned about mercy. And he learned about forgiveness. And he also learned how to intercede. And he said, you know, will you destroy it if there's 50 righteous? And God said, no, for 50, I will save this place. And he said, I'm sorry to add this again. How about 45? Will you save it for 45 righteous? And yeah, we'll save it. 40? Yeah, we'll save it for 40. And now he starts to get a little bold. I go, he goes, man, it's going to take me forever at this pace. Let me drop it by 10 now. How about 30? Yeah, we'll save it for 30. God, you're a merciful, wonderful, loving God. And you love people. Will you save it for 20? Will you save it for 10? Yes. And there wasn't even 10 righteous. And the city's destroyed. But another picture of this. Look how patient God was. Hoping to even find just 10. Willing to have 10 maybe repent. And then it's another picture even of the rapture. That Lot was brought out. You know, he's going to destroy the city. But Lot, you know, was still in that city. And he didn't live a lifestyle of righteousness, but he was taken out. He was still taken out. Yeah. So it's amazing to think about that. Such to a point that this really impressed a lot of the New Testament writers. James 2:23 says, Abraham believed in God and it was imputed to him righteousness. You know what that means? It means righteous. It doesn't mean that Abraham was righteous. He's a father of our faith, but he wasn't righteous. Mistake after mistake, including with Hagar. But righteousness was imputed to him. It was put upon his account. God seen Abraham as righteous even though he wasn't. Because righteousness comes from God. And then James says, and Abraham was a friend of God. And that's a friend of God. Is when we look beyond our problems, we look beyond our faults, we look beyond our shortcomings, and we see the wonderful righteousness and grace of God. Because the work that God's doing in your life is a work of God. We don't push the matter. Because you then start to get ahead of God. And that never turns out good. That's when things start to fall apart in our lives. Okay, one more story on this. Turn to 2nd. You guys with me today?
Yes.
2nd Chronicles, please. Chapter 10. So that's after 1st Chronicles, by the way. No, it's after Kings. 2nd Chronicles. Check this out. You know, just one other thing, too. If you think about it, we're even more than friends, if that's even possible. Galatians 4:6 says we are sons and daughters. I mean, that's part of our inheritance. He made us to be partakers of an inheritance in Colossians 1:12. Been made to partake as friends. So I no longer call you servant. I call you friend. I call you friend. The benefits and the blessings come from being a friend, not from being a slave. A slave has no rights. Friends have all rights. All rights in Christ. All things available. In 2 Chronicles Chapter 10, Solomon has just died. And Solomon was David's son. He was king of Judah for that period of time, and Israel, all of Israel. And he died. And Solomon's son was Rehoboam. And when he died, Israel made him king. Brought him up and made him king. And we've got another Boam. This is Jeroboam. And he was in Israel. And later on, there would be a divide. There's a division. So Israel is in the north, and Judah would be in the south. There'd be 10 kingdoms in the north and 2 in the south from the tribes of being broke up into 12. So Jeroboam and his council come to Rehoboam. It's going to be a tongue twister on this one pretty soon. And they say, listen, Solomon treated us with a lot of burdens, put a heaviness upon us. That's why they're enemies. He wasn't gracious. He treated us rough and put a lot of weight upon us. He says, we'd like to come to you to ask if you would remove it just a little bit. And in doing so, we will serve you. This is the request. And Rehoboam says, give me some time to talk about this. And so over the next couple of days, Rehoboam goes to seek counsel. And he goes, the Bible says, and he goes to the older men. And thank God for elders in the church. Because this is how wisdom is. This is counsel that young men should go to. Because they have been with God for periods of time. And you know, it's wonderful to get great counsel from men who know God. And so he went to these old men, and these old men were on the council of Solomon. They were his leaders. He raised them up. And they went to him and said, listen, Jeroboam is coming. He wants me to lift up the burdens off of them. And what do you think? What counsel can I get from you? And you can see this in verse 6 and 7. And they asked them for an answer. What counsel do you give me? And 7, look at this counsel. This is from the older men. It says, and they said to him, saying, if thou be king to this people and please them. If you want to be a king and you want to please the people, speak good words to them, and they will be your servants forever. So here's the counsel from the elders, of the elders, which means edify people, build people up, lift them up. If you put bondage on people, if you put weight upon people, if you put legalism on people, you have now made them a servant, but not unto you, unto law. But if you encourage them, build them up, edify them in their walk. People go through many troubles. We must continue to invest in people, invest in them. This is what church is for. We get built up here to build up out there. So if you build them up, if you edify them, then they'll be your servants forever. I think that's pretty great counsel. I think you should jump on that. But unfortunately, Rehoboam doesn't. He goes and gets other counsel. He goes and gets counsel from some young men, guys that he grew up with, school pals, school buddies, people in the world, you know. And it's amazing where church people go to get counsel from. I mean, I know people that'd rather open up the paper and get it from astrology than go and call the pastor. What are we entangled in? What are we touching? What are we touching, and what's touching us? Are we getting counsel from the Word of God? Or are we looking for other sources? It's an incredible thing to think about here. So they go to these old men, or these young men, I mean, for their advice. And these young men said, you know, your father did it for a reason. And if you want respect, and everybody wants that R word, I mean, even Aretha sang about it, you know, they want that. Women want respect from their husbands. Husbands want respect from their jobs and their wives. Well, you know, the job wants respect from their workers. And, you know, it's all over the place. So they said, if you want respect, you need to push down harder. You need to put the burden on a little tighter. You need to lay the law down, so to speak. And by the way, legalism and laying the law down never gets nobody to conform. They respond out of fear. It's not from the heart. This is why grace is from the heart. Love comes from the heart. So here's the two counsels. And now Rehoboam has to make a decision. And he does not go to God to find out what way I should go. And he is led by his feelings. And he responds and takes the counsel of the young men. This would cause division in Israel. A matter of fact, it says in 16. And when all of Israel saw that the king would not hearken unto them, the people answered and said to the king, what portion have we in David? Which means, what do we have to do then with David if you're not going to give us love like David gave us? How can we respond and serve you as a king if you're not going to be gracious, forgiving, love, kind, edifying, building us up the way David did? And matter of fact, even our inheritance that's in Jesse through David is nil. It doesn't mean anything to us. It's no value. It's no value. And the Bible says that Israel, 19, that Israel rebelled against all of this, even unto this day. There's a division amongst people there because of this. Because of how one person wants to say, listen, I'm in charge here. And there are pastors that do this. I'm in charge here. We're going to run this my, we're going to do it this way. This is the way. And you know what? There's nothing for the people to participate. There's no body life. This is not the body of Christ. So Christ says, from henceforth, from now on, from going forward, you're no longer a servant. You are free. Free to serve God. Free to have a relationship with God. Free to have a friendship with God. We don't want division. We want the unity of the Holy Spirit that can only be found in the body. In the body of Christ is where Christ dwells. This is where people get set free. This is where bondage has to fall off. It cannot stay on you. Strongholds must be broken because of unity. Because of love, because of encouragement. Never because of dividing. Never because, this is what the Pharisees did to people, by the way. They put extra, Jesus says, you know, instead of lessening the burden in people's life, you put burdens upon, you're adding to them. You're adding yoke to their lives. There's no freedom in that. We are free to serve Christ openly and lovingly, because he calls us friend. And we develop this relationship of friendship now. It's a new relationship. I don't serve God out of fear. I serve God because, wow, I can't wait to see what he's going to do for me today and in my life. Yeah, I've got all these problems all around, Lord. The storm is brewing and it's blowing hard. But I can't wait to see what you're going to do in my life today. This is how we got to start looking at things. We are victorious because of Christ. We have victory because of him. He calls you friend. A friend. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord. We believe in one Father. We believe in the Son. We are Bible believers. We believe in the Bible. Not religion. Relationship. I'm created to relate, to learn about Christ. We relate to him. Lord, we just pray for the offering. We pray for our fellowship afterwards next door. I pray, Lord, that you just bless the food to us. Encourage us as we speak about your word. So we'll go over there, we'll have a little food, and then we'll come back here if you'd like. And to talk about the message or situations that you want to just talk about. Bless the offering. Bless our missionaries all around the world, Lord. We thank you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.